NBC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Word coming in this morning that actor Louis Gossett Jr., the first black man to win Best Supporting Actor at the Oscars, has died. Gossett won his Academy Award for the film An Officer and a Gentleman. He was 87. In Maryland, it's now a round-the-clock effort to clear the debris of the collapsed Key Bridge and the container ship that crashed into it so the vital port in Baltimore can be reopened.
4 days after the catastrophic collapse of Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge, the Herculean task of clearing the wreckage is underway. The U.S. Navy sending three giant cranes to the scene to help remove debris from the steel-encased Dolly cargo ship. The Army Corps of Engineers mobilizing 1,000 personnel.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze on the scene. A new measure on inflation shows it's continuing to ease. The government reporting that consumer prices slipped last month from the month before. Compared to a year earlier, though, prices were up 2.5%. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's revenue secretary is stepping down soon. Peter Barca was first appointed in 2019. He'll leave office April 9th. Before that, he represented the Kenosha area in the State Assembly in the U.S. House. He worked in the Small Business Administration during the Clinton administration. Healthcare providers are signing people up in Wisconsin for Medicare and Medicaid. Christine Huberty is with the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources. She says it's mostly for older people with disabilities.
First and foremost, look at the provider network restrictions and look at what's available in your area.
But only about 3 in 10 people who qualify for dual eligible special needs plans were enrolled in 2021. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLCX, The Eagle in La Crosse, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Wisconsin's drought conditions saw a major improvement this week as snowfall and rain helped the state go from over 72% in drought to about 31%. Most of the improvements were in western Wisconsin, from La Crosse and areas north of I-90. However, some of the worst drought conditions still persist in southwestern Wisconsin, south of I-90 and north of the Wisconsin River, including parts of Vernon, Crawford, and Juneau counties. More rain is expected tonight into tomorrow, which could help improve drought conditions. Senator Tammy Baldwin was in La Crosse yesterday to hear from area health officials and first responders about the opioid epidemic and how Congress could work to provide more funding and resources. Wisconsin had 1,400 overdose deaths in 2022, with 55 of them happening in La Crosse County. Baldwin said that bipartisan legislation has included funding for drug treatment and prevention, but those bills have stalled. Area officials told the senator that opioid problems are expected to get worse in the area.
For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dude Dad.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
Let's pull out of this movie theater.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
The Bucks lose in the Big Easy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost to the Pelicans 107-100. New Orleans led by as much as 18 and played a very physical kind of game. The Bucks' Malik Beasley had 6 three-pointers, but it wasn't enough.
I don't know, it was a tough game, so it doesn't really matter if we lose. I like winning. I'd rather hit 1-3 and hit whatever I hit and win. So it's frustrating, but, you know, we'll finish the season off right.
They play the Hawks in Atlanta tomorrow night. College basketball, the Badgers women's team with a decisive win over Illinois State, 86-61. They advance to the Great Eight in the WNIT. Wisconsin's Sanya Copeland leading with 18 points. Baseball, the Brewers open the season in New York against the Mets. Pat Murphy on what he's learned going from being the bench coach to becoming the team's manager.
The game's evolving, and it behooves you to evolve with it. But, my eyes have been wide open.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be warmer today, partly cloudy with a high of 57 this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at around 5 to 15, getting a little breezier by late today. Clouds will also increase late this afternoon with a slight chance of scattered showers tonight. Our low tonight, 37. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 52. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
Friday on Matt and Air on Air, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer at 10:30, and me, Greg Bach, is in charge of the show. Join us.
Soaring from high above on Alaska and French Island, this is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490.
All right, welcome back to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, you mentioned Mo, Larry, and Curly.
I know, we spent the whole break talking about the Three Stooges. You poked my eye out. That was supposed to be funny, but you got me right in the
And so, you know, you can't help but think about those characters and who they were and all of those things. Well, it looks like...
You don't want them running the country, though.
Well, here are the names that you might remember that we thought were buried and that we never have to worry about again. And these are some arrogant, arrogant people. You have to remember Steve Bannon. Who was... basically one of those guys who was in a power position. Wasn't he Trump's?
Well, he started a website that got great notoriety that was far right. Then he was one of Trump's campaign chair people. Till he ran amok with some legal issues, and Paul Manafort stepped in, and of course that's another name that's pretty interesting, with an interesting background, who's connected to Ukrainian/Russian nationalist money that was convicted and then pardoned. I think both of those received pardons, right?
Roger Stone. You remember
Roger? Who could forget Roger Stone?
And then there's Michael Flynn.
Michael Flynn, Peter Navarro.
So all of these guys, four of them, had to be pardoned by Donald Trump. All four of them, Sandy, they could find their way back into prominence.
Into the cabinet, maybe. You know, that is, it's a scary thing. These people have no business getting security clearances or being in positions of power in the country, but it's almost certain that numbers of them will. You know, there's already discussion of it.
Well, talking...
Bannon has resurfaced and been sort of... re-anointed by Trump. Same with Paul Manafort.
Well, we kind of thought these people were gone, never to be remembered. They left kind of embarrassed based on the things that they wound up, for heaven's sakes, being indicted.
Well,
right?
I think the prime thing that these people have, other than some of the notorious ideas they have, is blind loyalty. And they've drunk the Kool-Aid. They've taken the loyalty oath. And that seems to be a very primary ingredient to getting into power in a Trump administration.
Well, Sandy, whatever it is you want to think about our government, and whatever side of the equation you are on, these four characters we just mentioned, they can't be good for our government under any, you know, rational thought. Nobody could think that those we've seen them. They've been there, right?
Well, I think this is what people ought to remember when they're in the voting booth, and that is that you're actually voting for a team. I mean, we always spend all our time talking about the candidate, but the real issue is who is the candidate going to surround himself with or herself with, and what will those people be like, and how capable will they be? And that's really what's important for the operation of a government. And I think that that's an area where there's a clear difference between the candidates, a clear difference.
You know, Sandy, that should matter. I know in many instances, people are enamored with the guy, but who else is going to, you know, decide that I want to be with Donald Trump as my guy? I'm going to give up my position, whatever it is, and I'm going to ride with Donald Trump. There'll be plenty of people who will be willing to do that.
Well, the fallacy is that, and Donald Trump has done everything to create this point of view, which is that in a Donald Trump administration, it is all about Donald Trump. He indicates that he uses his gut as his primary barometer for all. He doesn't take advice from third parties. It's all about what Donald Trump thinks. And if people think that that's a smart way to elect the leader of this country, to have someone who's not getting a lot of solid advice from a lot of solid people, then that's a horrible track to go on right there. But that's really what Donald Trump is all about. You can look at his cabinet. I mean, all of these people went in and out of good favor with Donald Trump. They've returned to favor now. But, you know, if you go into the Trump administration, you're just there for a while. You know, you're going to he had a revolving door.
Right.
The cabinet officials, there was one, the Mooch, Scaramucci. I think he lasted 12 days.
Well, it's pretty clear that Donald Trump doesn't listen to anybody, because somebody would say to Donald Trump, hey, Donald, I don't think it's a good idea for you to sell tennis shoes. Hey, Donald, I don't think it's a good idea for you to be hawking Bibles. Sandy, the guy's running to become president of the United States, and he's hawking Bibles.
I know. It's unbelievable. It's his favorite book.
I know.
I'm confident that if someone sat him down and gave him just a little test, a little cognitive test that related to the Bible, he'd come up real short.
But Sandy, doesn't he know what that looks like? I mean,
we know what we think it looks like.
Right.
But we don't know what it looks like to his base, okay? And to some, you know, his buffoonery is part of his style. It's hard to say, because, you know, we all missed the boat in 2016 when people were predicting what the outcome of the election would be.
Right.
Woke up very surprised. And I think we probably would be surprised by what it is that what kind of impact Donald Trump has on those who like him with respect to selling the God Bless the USA Bible.
Well, maybe it's Sandy, you watch him. And so this comes up. Let's go to Bill from Muscadet. Bill from Muscadet. Yes. Good morning. Am I pronouncing that right? Where's Muscadet located?
Yeah. Oh, it's in Grant County, by Boscobel.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Man, thank you for the call. You say what?
I just want to say something that I know you guys are always harping on Donald Trump, but I thought he did a pretty noble thing yesterday when he went and paid homage to that fallen police officer. Now, that was good of him to do that. I don't think Joe Biden backs the blue very much. Well, he's more interested in fundraising. That's my opinion.
Hang on, Bill. Bill is gone. Well, clearly, Sandy, that's in response, as you stated, what those who believe in Donald Trump, they see it differently.
They see it differently. You know, those who don't like Donald Trump thought he was taking a sort of a lame approach to getting a photo op at someone's expense. But the way they played it up on social media was that Joe Biden wasn't there, but Donald Trump was. Joe Biden's attended plenty of those kinds of events. And so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, politics is all about kind of symbolism, I guess. And to some, the symbolism was favorable to Donald Trump. I viewed it as kind of morbid myself.
Well, you know, Sandy, it's not a matter of people who don't like Donald Trump, right? You don't have to not like him to say that here's a man who clearly is every opportunity he gets to put his mug on something or to be seen of men, it doesn't matter what, he's going to take advantage of it. And again, to go on and hawk Bibles during the holy time, it means he sat back and thought this through and said, oh, I got an idea. Look, it's the Christian season. I'm going to sell Bibles. Why didn't he sell Bibles in February? Or why didn't he sell, come on, Sandy, why didn't he sell Bibles around Christmas?
Snake oil. It's the old snake oil approach, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's the frustrating thing about talking about someone like Donald Trump, because like I said, sauce for the goose might not be sauce for the gander. Some people will look at it and have an entirely different view of what's going on there. And, you know, for some, you know, the part of that selling of the Bibles is catering to what he describes in that little piece as the Judeo-Christian tradition of our country. It's playing into this Christian nationalism that is a strong force in the country, but it's not a majority, but it's a powerful, loud minority. And to me, it's worrisome, but to those who believe in it, I'm sure it's very positive.
You know, Sandy, I wonder sometimes, clearly he has evangelical Christians. And I know that that's not enough. He has more than evangelical Christians, right?
Sure. Yeah, he's put together a patchwork coalition of frustrated and angry people, as well as people who are dismayed by what they think are changes that they don't like ongoing. I would say that mainly what it is, it's kind of reactionary, and it's reactionary to the view of what I call modernity, which is the trends today, right? The trend in this country to become more ethnically diverse. That's a troublesome trend for some people. The trend in this country to be more active in the world in some fashion is a trend that is upsetting to some. The globalization that has cost people the jobs they used to have, that has robbed a lot of small towns of the core industry that they had, is also a problem that he seems to be addressing.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. Stick with us. We'll continue the conversation on the other side.
Everybody thinks we're on the mother. Who are they to judge us? Mother, mother, simply calls me where I belong. Mother, mother, woo.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
We're having a party, dancing to the music.
All right, welcome back to the Early Group Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, I think, people are tired already of, this election talk, and I don't think people can afford to get tired of this. We can't move away from it, Sandy, because whether we want to accept it or not, This is critical. This election is critical. I mean, we can, people can get bored with it and all of those things, but at some point in time, Sandy, they're going to realize this is a part of the democracy, right? I mean, it's a part of our responsibility. This election, we got to be engaged in it.
Well, particularly because Trump and what he's proposing for the government is a big change. It's a big change from the government as we've always talked about it or known it. And the notion that there are enough people in this country frustrated with this current situation that they would want to put all their chips on an individual and to have a strong man government instead of a government of the people is a very worrisome trend. But it is a trend we have to recognize is there, and we have to recognize that it has real potential to occur, real potential. And should it occur, we can laugh about the notion of having Manafort or Roger Stone or these various people back in power, but it's not going to be funny.
No, it's not.
It's not going to be funny.
No, it really is not. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Hey, good morning to you, Mike. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Happy Friday. Your last comment was spot on. There's nothing funny or nothing cute about all this nonsense that we the people are having to endure day after day, week after week. But what I wanted to chime in very quickly about was the cost of misinformation. And when it comes to the Trump administration, especially in the early days, the motley crew that you guys were going through, the Manafort's, such, the complete story has not been told on the mainstream media about these actors. And let me just touch on Manafort for a second. For years, he made every dollar of his income from Eastern European dictators. Strongman. He approached then Donald Trump to become his campaign manager free of cost, no cost to the campaign, because Kalemnik in the Russians paid him $10 million up front. So when we hear about this quote-unquote Russian hoax that so many people on the right-wing media continue to declare it as a hoax. My question is, how do you not investigate Manafort when he worked for free and that every dollar of his income came from Eastern European countries, when he was in position at that time, probably as strong of a position in a campaign, in a presidential campaign as you can have? So I bear the responsibility of much of this torment that we've had to endure on these huge holes, the size of Swiss cheese, that the media just doesn't fill in and provide that service that we, the people, so rightly deserve. So I wanted to get your opinion, Mike,
very well said, Sandy.
Yeah, totally well said. And you're right that the media during our lifetimes, if you've lived more than four decades, we've watched the media collapse from being an enterprise that would pursue something like Watergate and would bring before the American people a horror that was occurring behind the scenes, to a media now that just reads press releases and reprints them and goes with the daily brush fire kind of news without rolling up their sleeves and providing the American people all the information they need. And you're right, there's plenty to be investigated. And to some extent, it was investigated, but never brought forward by the major media, because you and I both know these facts about Paul Manafort, but it's never really been played out to the public in a way that allows them to fully understand the sketchy nature of Paul Manafort and his background, or Bannon, Steve Bannon and his background, or the rest of the lot here. And the same is true of Donald Trump himself. You know, there's plenty sketchy that has gone on with Donald Trump with respect to how it is that he's been risen from the financial ashes to be Phoenix more than one time, and has been supported by a kind of a shadowy group of people.
You know, Sandy, an amazing thing is on the other side of that coin, they clearly have gone after Biden and his son, and we know a lot about what's happened with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, and there's been a lot of allegations about Joe Biden and his son and all of those things. But all of these other things that are really shady, and these guys, again, Sandy, have been indicted.
Well, even what's going on right now, Truth Social, it was merged with a SPAC, a Special Purpose Acquisition Corporation, which was funded by we don't know who. And now there's been this entity has gone public and has potentially presented Donald Trump with a windfall of billions of dollars of potential value. And part of it was supported by, and one of the main investors is a fellow who was behind TikTok. Okay. And so Donald Trump suddenly changed his view about TikTok just weeks ago. How coincidental. because this fellow is part of what is supporting the potential for Donald Trump to get a bunch of money, so long as the investors stay in the Truth Social public offering. There's a potential. I mean, everyone's scratching their head because the Truth Social offering doesn't have anywhere near the basic fundamentals that would support the value that's been ascribed to it by the marketplace. So then the question is, who in the marketplace is fueling the money that's pouring in to give the value to this, which is inuring to Donald Trump's benefit?
So
there's much to be looked at in that transaction.
So, Sandy, when they open it up to the public and the public purchases it, there's really no value there. The people are going to basically lose their shirts.
Well, it has been opened up to the public now, but there was an initial rush of people investing in it. But the question is, who were those people and why were they doing it? They were not small investors, at least in the bulk they weren't. And it's just a very questionable transaction. And someone needs to roll their sleeves up and do a good deal of investigation into it to figure out just exactly what's going on.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Sandy Williams and you. Hang on the lines. Up next, news, weather, and sports.
Friday on Nightlight, I welcome paranormal investigator Todd Michaels and music and movie producer Wendy Schneider. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Rockford, Illinois man faces 13 charges for Wednesday afternoon's killing spree. Four people were killed with a baseball bat and a knife. Seven more are badly hurt. Rockford Police Chief Carla Redd.
This cuts you at the root. I can't imagine what the families are going through.
Christian Soto admits to killing a friend, the friend's mother, a mail carrier, and a teenage girl in a span of about 20 minutes. All the rain and snow Wisconsin got in the past week are alleviating drought conditions in many parts of the state. It was the first time in 2 years that March rain totals were above average. Much of Wisconsin has been in a drought since 2022, including the entire state last year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLCX, the Eagle in La Crosse, I'm Jimmy Cuska. On Tuesday, voters in La Crosse County will decide on a judge for Circuit Court Branch 3. The candidates are Mark Huseman, who was appointed to the bench by Governor Tony Evers after Todd Bjerke retired, and Candace Tlustosh, who was an interim Circuit Court judge for Branch 5 in 2015. Mailers have already been arriving in the homes of county residents. It's one of 56 Circuit Court judge positions open in this election cycle, but one of only 10 that are contested in the entire state. Area organizations took part in an active shooter drill at Central High School yesterday. The annual training involves law enforcement, first responders, students, and staff to work on disaster responses for different scenarios. In the past, the training has focused on things like a chemical lab explosion or natural disasters such as tornadoes. The training is put on by the Wisconsin Academy of Rural Medicine and includes medical workers, police, firefighters, and students studying those fields in college.
For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Busted pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with a 60-second showbiz beat. HBO's Bill Maher is creating a podcast network. Deadline reports that the host of Real Time and Club Random podcast will launch a new cast starting with sports journalist Sage Steele. Maher says he wants to feature celebrities who want to branch out and talk about something different and feature real unedited discussions. Maher is excited to be working with Sage Steele because he says, like him, she also ticked off Disney. In keeping your head above water news, remember Good Times, the TV show set in 1970s Chicago in the Cabrini-Green housing project? Well, Norman Lear's groundbreaking sitcom is getting an animated reboot. Deadline reports that the new look Good Times will drop April 12th on Netflix. The show will star J.B. Smoove, Yvette Nicole Brown, and Jay Farrell. Character descriptions sound very similar to the original Evans family, except in the reboot there is a drug-dealing infant. How do you not watch that? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be warmer today, partly cloudy with a high of 57 this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at around 5 to 15, getting a little breezier by late today. Clouds will also increase late this afternoon with a slight chance of scattered showers tonight. Our low tonight, 37. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 52. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 30.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Soaring from high above Holman and UW La Crosse, this is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. Pussycat, pussycat, I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend with you. So go and powder your cute little pussycat nose. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat nose.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Tom Jones and Sandy Williams.
There you go. Welch. Williams is a Welsh name, and so is Tom Jones.
Is he still around?
I think he is. I think he is. I think he's probably started wearing pants that aren't quite as tight as the ones he used to wear. He was famous for that back before there was even the style.
Do you think he's still performing?
I think he is.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got to be...
old.
Yeah. and probably still has his voice.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. Tom Jones, he was something.
All right. Hey, Tom from LA, what's going on, man?
Hey, Earl. Good morning again, guys. I again want to thank you, Earl, because of you, I'm back here giving platelets again once a week at the Red Cross. So thank you for the inspiration that you gave me when you talked about giving blood and how important it is. Second, I just want to say how brilliant Mike was, the caller. He really has it going on. And the new trope for the Republicans, because, you know, we want to get money out of politics and we don't want all of that. So now they're going to start saying, oh, Joe Biden takes donations. Joe Biden takes so much money. Well, Joe Biden and the Democrats need to stand up and say, yes, you know what? We have a system because of Citizens United, because of money in politics. We have to take the money right now. But you know what? We're the one party that is fighting to get money out of politics. We had H.R. 1, which was a bill in Congress that the Democrats passed, which will not be passed again until you have a Democratic House, that was to get money out of politics and a bunch of other stuff, H.R. 1 was. And the thing is, give me a break with this thing about Joe Biden, you know, trying to have to get donations and all of this kind of stuff. Of course he does. You can't play in this game if you don't get donations. But you know what? Once the donations are, once we get money out of politics, you don't have to worry about that anymore. But we have to worry about that. And Donald Trump probably is going to come out and say he doesn't take big money, blah, blah, blah. That's probably what he's going to say. I can read the tea leaves already. And I hope people are not fooled by that.
Hey,
the
Tom.
The system that we have is because of Republican administrations and because of Republican Supreme Court justices.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, I don't know if you're aware of it, but Israel had an airstrike in Syria that killed more than 40 people. And we are really starting to ramp up something that's going to be horrible, Sandy.
Well, they were aiming it apparently at a weapons depot that was used by Hezbollah. So it was all about the conflict that Israel has with Hezbollah from Lebanon, which is backed by Iran. But the whole Mideast is a complex stew, and the borders there don't mean so very much in some regions. And clearly what's happening is that Hezbollah is using Syria as an outpost for its own conduct. And if you know the map, Syria and Lebanon and Jordan and Israel all kind of come together at a spot there. Hopefully this doesn't reflect something that's going to grow into a bigger conflagration, number one. And number two, hopefully it's something that the United States can steer clear of.
Well, yeah, you know, because it's very easy to get dragged into this, and it just is not going away.
Well, it's not going away. And, you know, the conduct, the West Bank, the problems in the West Bank with expansion of settlements in the West Bank at this hot time, there just needs to be a shift in gears, I think, in the way that the policies that are conducted in the Mideast are carried out on both sides. But, you know, clearly Hezbollah and Hamas are very disruptive forces, and it's very troublesome for Israel to coexist with both of them. But somehow there's got to be a method figured out to create a better path towards Israel's coexistence with the region.
I think many of us would have thought by now that this would have ended, right? I don't think there's anybody who thought it would still be going on.
Well, the situation in Gaza is worse today than it was 40 years ago. So, you know, there are some things that have gone the wrong direction, and I would say that Gaza is one of those.
Well, for one thing, it's been leveled, right? I mean...
Well, it's been leveled, and also just the nature of the restrictions on Gaza, et cetera, have ramped up over time, and to the point where now we've got what we've got.
You know, I just, for the life of me, Sandy, don't see how we get out of it, right? I don't know how the United States and Joe Biden and, you know, and it's such a complicated, it's always been that way. But once this thing ramped up, you know, I don't see how we back out of it.
Well, I don't think we back out of it. I think we have to assert our influence in constructive ways on both sides of the ledger. We have lots of influence with Saudi Arabia. We have lots of influence with Jordan. We have lots of influence potentially in the Mideast. And we also have lots of influence with Israel and vice versa in that case. But I think we need to make sure that we exercise our influence in very constructive ways. And I don't think a constructive way is to put all of the eggs, for instance, in the nature of the Donald Trump approach, which is to put all of his eggs in the Netanyahu basket and believe that that will be the path towards peace in the Mideast, just as his son-in-law kind of came up empty in his effort to pursue peace in the Mideast by putting all his eggs in the Saudi Arabian basket. What happened in his efforts to create peace was that basically Kushner got a couple of $1 billion invested in his business by Saudi Arabia, but no peace in the Mideast.
Let's go to Tim from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Tim. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening. You say what, sir?
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. You know, in the last few days here, or a week or so, a lot of people are getting excited about Pence and some of these people saying that they're not endorsing Trump. Well, they didn't say they weren't going to vote for him. I think they're all just kind of positioning themselves for later. They can say, well, we didn't endorse Trump, but the question is, who are you going to vote for? That's all I got to say.
Well, that's a good point. There's only two people you can vote for, right?
Well, no, there's three. There's going to be three. There'll be Robert F. Kennedy, and then there's no vote, or there's a write-in vote.
Yeah, and then the Green Party.
I think some of these people have said they aren't going to vote for Trump, but they've also said they aren't going to vote for Biden. So, you know, that's for instance, what Mitt Romney said, and I believe that's what Pence said, too, but I'm not sure. But how people vote is their own private matter, but I think that there's a big question mark as to what's going to happen with the people who understand that all the faults that Donald Trump has that should probably keep them from voting for him for president. But there seems to be something going on in our country in which party relationships for people is almost like a liturgical relationship. It's something they can't disavow. And what they believe in is that they can't vote for the other side. You know, and you'll hear plenty of Republicans say that they'll never vote for a Democrat. And I suspect there are Democrats who say the same thing about Republicans. And when you think about it, it's kind of a goofy thing to say, right? It's a little bit goofy because it really should depend on the people that are running and the choices you have.
Well, so let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
I say, Earl, I called to thank you and all the rest of the staff at Civic Media Radio for giving me a title I thought I'd never get. I am officially banned from the Dan O'Donnell show. He does not want me debating him. And you know the reason why.
Well,
you know why. He is absolutely terrified when I come on the air. So now his screener said, you are officially banned from our show. I just have to thank you that because when the truth comes out, if you can't debate facts, opinions, and truth,
what have you left? What's left?
Well,
you have nothing to stand on. And thanks to you and all your group, you educated me in not how to debate with anger, but debate with a concept and opinions and facts. And when they run from the facts, you don't have to say anymore, correct?
Well, Bill, thank you very much for the call. And, you know, I don't like to talk about, you know, the other conservative stations and who they are and what they represent. You know, I already know who they are and what they represent because I, like you, listen and have listened. And the name that you just mentioned, you know, we know who and what he is. He's clearly a person who, you know, is paid to say certain things. And so it's that's what happens on many conservative stations. If you listen to that guy, it's the same thing as listening to Sean Hannity or Laura Ingraham or any of those other people. That's what they are. That's kind of the way they do things. We do things a little different. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Sharky from Racine. Good morning to you, Sharky. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Again, thank you for the great quality of radio, and thank you for each and every one of you, all of your people, bringing me good messages. And it's at this time on a good Friday. So I want you to know that we got to keep it going. You're keeping detail, and that's what we need more of. And I'm also going to reach out to you for the dish, and you're welcome tomorrow at the Marcel Daninel breakfast at 8:30. So normally I wouldn't do that, but come on down. We'd love to see you on the scene. We've got a lot of
I would definitely check my schedule, and it would be always it's always good to see you, man, and to hear from you.
I wish you all both well. And a blessed holiday.
Yeah, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. You know, Sandy, I wanted to talk about, and we'll talk about this more on the other side, something that people may not be aware of in this country that is happening in schools, unfortunately, not just in urban centers, but everywhere. The student absences, chronically absent students. And in 2021, 2022, 28% of students chronically absent. 2022, 2023, 27% of students are chronically absent. So you have to ask the question, why are children disappearing? Why are they not in schools, why school absences have exploded almost everywhere. The pandemic changed families' lives and the culture of education. I was at a meeting last night talking about Milwaukee Public Schools and a referendum. And that was one of the topics that so many children are not in school. It's an epidemic that people aren't talking about much and may not be aware of in this country. In Anchorage, affluent families set off on ski trips and other lengthy vacations with the assumption that their children can keep up with the school work online. Parents are taking kids out of school to go on vacations and doing things that, Sandy, that were unconscionable long ago.
Well, I'm sure the pandemic was a step change. All the virtual schooling that went on during the pandemic sort of probably belied the notion that you had to be in school to go to school. And so I'm sure that there's been a tendency since then. And I'm sure that if you looked at data, the absences have gone way up since the pandemic.
All right. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams.
So you have lips. You and your pussycat eyes. You and your pussycat.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Grocery prices.
Well, now to more sticker shock at the grocery store.
Chaos at the southern border.
Thousands of migrants have joined a caravan in Central America that's making its way to the U.S.
Cutting the wages of working Americans.
And now they can employ cheap immigrants instead of having to pay working class Americans a living wage.
But Biden and Tammy Baldwin don't care. They're millionaires. Tammy Baldwin lives in a million-dollar luxury penthouse in Washington, D.C. Oh, come on. How do you think career politicians like Biden and Tammy Baldwin and their families become millionaires?
The records show Hunter Biden's company received nearly $5 million in consulting contracts from that joint venture funded by a Chinese energy company.
Inflation, out-of-control immigration, insider deals. That's the Biden and Baldwin way. America's PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by America's PAC and not authorized by any other candidate or committee. America's PAC 527.com.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Trailer for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. Ain't got no cigarettes. Oh, but 2 hours of pushing broom buys a 8x12 4-bit room. I'm a man of means by no means. King of the road.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas. That's the same number. So, Sandy, I do know that in urban centers across the nation, in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee Public Schools, chronic absenteeism from students. And I just, you know, My parents, hey, if you didn't go to school, you weren't at home, you're going to get out of here, you're going to go somewhere, you're not going to be at home.
Oh, I mean, you know, I think when you and I grew up, you had to be pretty sick to stay home from school. You didn't have to be just a little sick. Right. You had to be sick. And that's all changed since the pandemic. And now people stay home if they think they might get sick, you know, it's so the people are much more careful about that. I think the pandemic and virtual schooling persuaded parents that vacations would be just fine to take.
At any point
during the school year, the kid will just stay in touch. It'll work out okay. I think schools have become more cooperative about that, which is probably a mistake as well. Because I think being in school and viewing school as an absolute obligation is a pretty important sense training tool for getting ready to work, right? I mean, if you have a job, you can't have 28% absences. So, you know, I think that it's fundamental to our development process to, number one, have the obligation to go to school and then to meet that obligation.
You know, Sandy, you were right. You said about this increases since COVID. The increases have occurred in districts big and small and across income and race. For districts in wealthier areas, chronic absenteeism rates have about doubled to 19% in 2022-2023 school year from 10% before. And as you stated, it is because people got into doing this homeschooling. And maybe they just haven't gotten out of it.
I think people just decide. I think it depreciated in people's minds the importance of being at school.
Every day.
It just depreciated the notion that that was a vital function. And I don't think society can let that happen because it's a slippery slope.
You know, when in Milwaukee Public Schools, 15 to 20% absences every day. And so when you have that, you have to wonder, well, what are the kids doing? If they're not in school, in the case of Milwaukee and many urban centers, They're involved in things that are not beneficial. They're involved in things that are hurtful to them and the community.
Yeah, there used to be things called truant officers.
Right.
And there used to be a pretty active enforcement of the requirement that you be at school or you better be in hiding someplace because you'll be, you know, found out and sent to school. I think police used to even be involved in that process. And, you know, I think we have to get more vigilant about that because I think school is an exceedingly important, potentially exceedingly important part of everyone's development, and particularly the development of those who are maybe disadvantaged in the level of development support they get at home.
You know, the fact that this is, you know, made it up to the New York Times lets you know how serious an issue this is. And as I'm, you know, continue to spend my time in different times in different schools, and I hear constantly about where are the children? Where are the children? Parents have to make that decision. It can't be up to the child, right? You didn't allow your children to determine or to decide whether they're going to school this morning. I mean, maybe Calvin, did you get to make decisions on whether or not you were going to school each day?
No. Well, every once in a while, if I really, really begged and I had been really good, my mom might let me stay home.
Well, I never got that, you know. But it's more than that now. Parents apparently don't think that it's important that kids are there every day.
Right. And I wonder whether schools, in fact, have that same view or whether schools have become more lax about it. But in any case, I think it's a bad trend. I think homeschooling is fraught with problems as well. And homeschooling has grown quite a bit. And I think that kids who get homeschooled are missing out on some opportunities that they otherwise need to have. And I think all the rest of the kids who would be consorting with the kid who is homeschooled are missing out on meeting that person and interacting with them.
You know, Sandy, I didn't know any body who was homeschooled when I was in school.
I didn't even know it was allowed. I mean, I was totally unaware that it was a potential thing that existed in the time period when I was going to school, and I'm not sure that it was.
No, so, but to think that you as an individual, and maybe you can do a better job educating your child, but you can't do a better job in your child learning to interact with other people, right? You as a parent, you don't have that ability. You're one person with one personality. Your child is as they grow, that's who they're developing who they are through their interaction with other people, right?
Well, I think so. I mean, I know that some people believe strongly in homeschooling, and I'm not, I guess, interested in getting into a debate about whether people should be homeschooled or whether it's a good thing for those who are. But I think that school itself is a very important fundamental social tool for society.
All right, we got to leave it there. Good Friday. Happy Good Friday to everybody. Happy Easter. Happy Easter to you and your family, son. Sandy. You as well, Calvin. I'll be back on Monday. Up next, Jane Matinere and Greg Bach. See you Monday. Rent. Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no boo, no pets. I ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing broom.
News Talk for Homan on Alaska and, of course, La Crosse. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse.
Hey everybody, Todd Lobo, Friday noon to 2, talking to Brady Ewing and the Week in Review right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The
Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The largest crane on the eastern seaboard now in Baltimore as crews begin removing the wreckage.